Have you ever wondered what death doulas talk about when they get together? This podcast is offered to you by the Death Doula Ontario Network, as doulas gather to talk about all things related to death, dying, and grief. Founder and director Olga Nikolaev and members of the Death Doula Ontario Network gather and share their powerful personal and professional stories with end-of-life care. Death Doula Chats are our stories about our experiences with offering and providing end-of-life care support in our communities. We hope and pray that our words have a healing impact on your own experience and assist you in learning about death doulas and their end-of-life care support services. The network's mission is to gather death doulas across Ontario and serve as their educational and business collaborative community of practice. The network's vision is to increase public knowledge and death literacy, enhance end-of-life care skills, and provide up-to-date end-of-life care resources and information through our doula work. In addition, the Death Doula Ontario Network is part of a global movement, a world mission to better educate, advocate, and empower everyone in their end-of-life journey. I want to welcome Leslie, and thanks for joining us today on this eighth episode of Death Doula Chats.
I'm thrilled to be invited to your podcast, Olga. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Leslie. Leslie lives in Central Ontario, York Region, serving her clients both locally and globally. So, as one of the voices of the Death Doula Ontario Network, especially in your community, I think maybe some of our listeners would want to know what motivated you to become a death doula, end-of-life doula?
That's a good question, and I would say there were several life-changing events for me in 2016. One of my close friends, my tennis partner, she died. She was only 49. In 2017, I had my second adrenal crisis. This is a life-threatening, rare autoimmune disease that I have, Addison's disease. And so that was my second, brush with death. And then the following year in 2018, the loss or the death of my soulmate. And I turned out I was an end-of-life doula before I even knew that this role existed. And so he was only 51. So that got me really, really, to explore the reality of my own mortality.
So one aspect I think of this doula work is to also help us to kind of reflect our own mortality. But what specifically about the doula work and serving others and helping others motivated you into this work? Because it's no easy task getting into this line of work, both, personally and acquiring knowledge. So what was the thing that motivated you to want to help others?
Having the conversation, I am not doing anything on the medical side or and very rare in person, but from the holistic, the practical side, the education, the planning, the grief literacy, knowledge is power, but wisdom can be so empowering. And I really want people to have the conversation and to plan for the end. I've just seen the devastating impact and trauma that can happen when people don't talk about it.
So, is this part of your work that you're most actually passionate about? Is starting the conversation, facilitating those talks within families, and offering some of that education? Is that specifically how you're serving your community, Leslie?
Yes, I offer workshops remotely, and if you think about, embracing age, I'm an advocate for seniors, 55 plus, and so AGE is an acronym for the A is advanced care planning, the G is grief and loss support, and the E is end of life education. So I do before, so all the holistic planning, the practical stuff, get your affairs in order. Do you have your wills, your power of attorney, life review? So that all that death education and grief literacy, and that includes anticipatory grief support as well. And then I certainly help families with the emotional support after. So after someone has died, grief and loss support, and the aftercare. I call it, I nickname it Deathmen, but that's all of the completing the government applications, the checklist for executors. I worked in a funeral home. I have my pre-planning license. So, helping families, it's just so overwhelming when a family is grieving. They don't sometimes even know that there are death benefits available. So it's education around that, having a conversation about memorialization and how they wish to be remembered. And I've started something called Grief Lounge with Leslie and a variety of different ways, different talks on Instagram Live or YouTube. And I also have a little free library in my in front of my home that I weave grief books into. I don't want to overwhelm my neighborhood, but that's my part of what I'm doing.
That's wonderful. You're getting out there and being part of the community and contributing. I've snuck in a few books at my free library exchange little booth in my community. And I wonder, right? I sometimes feel awkward. Should I be leaving this? Will it bring somebody kind of down? At the same time, I think there's a wonderful opportunity to inform folks because there's so much of the unknown. Especially when we haven't been taught, or we haven't borne witness, or we haven't supported end-of-life care. And that can be kind of daunting, right? It can be quite heavy. Oftentimes, when not only myself, but other doulas have experienced this, when they mention what it is that they do, there's kind of a recoil from the listener. Oh, my goodness, that must be really heavy and right to the point. And absolutely, it can be. So, I've asked other doulas, and I'm going to ask you as well. How do you care for yourself, especially during those times? Or, we talked about the fact that self-care is really the foundation of our work in order for us to have the capacity and have the resilience and have the capability to assist others. And so, what is the type of self-care that you do for yourself, Leslie, so that you can combat some of that burnout or compassionate fatigue?
Olga, I'm a work in progress, and self-care, I will admit I'm not the best at it. There's room for improvement. I have some limitations with my chronic illnesses as far as, I used to be an avid tennis player and jogger and, cycling and Zumba and hot yoga and, having chronic pain. I'm just had to switch gears a little bit. So what I really have been good at is defining boundaries. So if something is, toxic, a toxic environment, a toxic relationship, I live with a stress disorder, so I'm in that fight or flight mode. So for me, stress reduction is key. I'm really good at hydrating. My favorite beverage is water. And I drink it in all forms, tea included. So hot, warm water, cold water, room temperature water. So I'm good at staying hydrated and just being kind and uplifting others. I wrote about in my chapter From Pain to Purpose in Uncover Your Light about lantern bearers, just leaning into my lantern bearers who are my community, support roles in my community that help me through difficult times. So I'm not the best, but from physical point of view, I love a good soak in the tub with my Epsom salts, essential oils, aromatherapy, anything to do with solitude and silence and just being, that's my introvert, be at home with the cat. Yes, I'm social, but I can only take large groups and in small amounts. And then, anything to do with serenity, calmness. Anything healing activities, writing. I love to write and read, and that is how I do self-care.
I think you're great at it. Never mind, not good at it. I think all of those things address so many of the different aspects of ourselves, our emotional, physical, mental, spiritual, all the ways in which we need to connect so that we can rejuvenate. And I love the share and so fundamental about water. It's actually now a common thread through some of the self-care shares that hydration, our
Interesting.
relationship to water is such a key piece in not only in the doula work, but in our sustainability of our life force energy. So that's awesome. So Leslie, if we look towards the future, because like you and most doulas and myself, most doulas have been in this work for quite a bit of time. It's not something necessarily new. And as you shared in the beginning, is sometimes it weaves its way through our life experiences that we may be good at and offer some of this support to others who are navigating this terrain. So what do you think the future holds for death doulas, end-of-life doulas? If you were to kind of vision 5 to 10 years from now, where do you think you'll be, will be?
Well, I've just recently redid my powers of attorney, and I have put in my power of attorney for personal care that I would like a death doula. And I've given a copy to my doctor. I have a very good relationship, and my family knows where my documents are and what my wishes are. And that's part of the whole preface of starting Last Wishes Consulting. But everyone needs a doula. So this is a life spectrum. A doula, we know, is a Greek word that means one who serves or one who helps. So whether it's a birth doula, a grief doula, a death doula, when we die, I feel that this is, this movement is here. It's growing. Sometimes I meet people, I tell people that I'm a death doula or end of life doula, and they think I'm just the first person, and they don't realize that there's this incredible global movement and community. So from a corporate standpoint, I would love to see, and this would be my vision or my dream, and I hope that we do get regulated one day. I know there's some people that don't, but if we're regulated, think about how, right now some companies offer X amount of dollars for chiropractor or massage therapy or, even, stop smoking, all those wellness. So I would love to see workplace benefits. And I've put a little acronym together. So REACH, the R would be regulate, that we're regulated. And E, equity, health equity is so important. We need to do better. And the A would be adequate bereavement leave. Frankly, 3 days of bereavement leave is just not enough. The C, caregiver supports. My goodness, everybody's pretty much in a primary or secondary caregiving role, and we need better supports around caregiving. And then hospice. I'm a big advocate for hospice. My two friends, they were in Durham, and there's no hospice in Durham. What would their end of life have looked like if there was hospice with beds? I'm in Markham. I love being a volunteer with Evergreen Hospice, but we need the funding and we need more beds.
I love acronyms, as you know. I love that acronym REACH, reaching with Brave and the grief first aid and all of the ways in which we support. And I again, talk about age. I love that acronym as well. Advanced care planning. Let us talk about what's coming, right? Be able to navigate the losses that we experience, not only with the person that we lose, but also the disconnection through the process of aging to our abilities to be able to do the things we could do when we were 20. And then be able to educate, right? Provide some of that's such a key piece. People oftentimes don't know what they don't know. And so I totally echo with you in the power of death doulas to be able to educate and continue our own education and educating others. Fantastic. So, Leslie, if folks wanted to connect with you and obtain your support in this doula work, how can they best reach you?
I'm using a new platform called Pick My Brain. So pickmybrain.world. Just search for Leslie James and you can book some time with me. Pardon me, I'm also on LinkedIn and Alignable and Clubhouse, Leslie James. On Facebook, I have a Facebook page, Last Wishes Consulting, also on Instagram, all the social media, not TikTok. And to reach me by email, it's Leslie, that's Leslie, at lastwishesconsulting.com. Sign up to my email list because I have a new website coming, lastwishesconsulting.com. So I'd love if you'd sign up so I can share education, information, events, workshops that are coming.
Fantastic. So thank you so much for spending time with the Deaf Doula Ontario Network. And thank you to Leslie and to all of our members who have taken part in this particular podcast and will continue to do so. We hope that you all will be able to return and listen to our collective stories on this Deaf Doula Chats podcast.
Thank you.